Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, we're going to talk marketing, social media, artificial intelligence, all the things marketing with social media guru, Wendy Lewis. She's a very respected figure in the global aesthetics industry, and she knows so much about marketing and had so much fun chatting with you at meetings. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself for people who don't know you. You have your very own company, Wendy Lewis and Company Limited. Yes. What do you do?
I'm kind of a veteran in aesthetics. I started my company 26 years ago. And it's been an amazing ride watching how this industry has just blossomed and changed so much. And I learn more, I think, from European meetings, because people are doing so many different things in other countries. I'm sure you agree. And it's just an amazing field. I think we're at a point where it can only go up, the number of new treatments. It's really hard for doctors to keep up with, and certainly for consumers, don't you think?
I do. It's information overload all the time. And I think that makes it so important to have voices of reason and voices that are, you know, reliable, scientifically evidence-based. The more meetings I go to, the more I am shocked at how little evidence we use in aesthetics, and everything sounds so
sexy, cutting edge.
You know, I really want to drive this industry to being standards driven and driven by excellence and research and evidence, for sure.
We could use a little more of that. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's all about.
We had more of it back in the beginning, but I think now it's just so big, right? It's really hard to measure anything. It's not really come from the companies. I mean, now
you're great at predicting trends. This year has been very weird. I felt this weird vibe in aesthetics where during the pandemic, we rode the wave of everybody getting everything done for their beauty. It was very inspiring and it was awesome. We then have entered into this little bit of a filler fear and kind of recessionary mindset. Do you think that aesthetics has changed a lot in the last 6 months?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with the recessionary mindset right now. And I didn't see that, at least it didn't feel that way at the beginning of the year. But now, like the last quarter, you are starting to see that. And I think it has a lot to do with interest rates, frankly. People are just nervous in general. Plus, you know, we've got an election coming up, and look at the world.
Yes.
I mean, the last few months alone, there's just so many things going on that I think people may get distracted, but that's, you know, that happens all the time in aesthetics, and it bounces back. It may be a little slump, but once you are into aesthetics and doing things that you love, toxins, fillers are the premium example. You don't want to give it up. I think it's very rare that people give it up unless they move or they get ill or they can't find a doctor they like. But, you know, you get into it and it becomes part of your life. Like, I can't imagine myself not having a toxin done. I don't even know what I would look like, and I don't want to find out. So that part of the field will always be busy and active and new. But right now, I think we have an explosion, a lot of it coming from Asia, wouldn't you say?
The trend to using more threads and energy-based devices and so much, I think, innovation-driven. Yeah. And new
look at exosomes. You know, I didn't know anything about it a year ago, and now it's the biggest thing. I mean, you hear about it from everyone. It's really taken off. I think it's almost knocked PRP kind of out of the market. Like, fewer doctors I see using PRP. They may use it in conjunction, but exosomes are where it's at. And I think that's what consumers want also. I mean, it's amazing how something can just come out. We didn't even hear about it, at least I didn't, for a year ago, right? It was nothing a year ago, and now it's an explosion. And it's really baked in the cake now. I think it's really in the public domain. I think that has a lot to do with companies and doctors who are out there talking about it, and then consumers get interested, and then it becomes a thing. But I mean, that's a good thing, I think. What's your feeling of it? Are you using it in your practice?
Yeah, actually, a year ago, we interviewed a lot of people about exosomes and on our podcast. And I think that's been so awesome to be cutting edge in that respect, to discover and understand new technologies before they really hit the market and interview all the key players. So we worked with Plated Skin Science and Dr. Ada Bafar. So I helped with one of their initial studies. So exosomes have been transformative, topically applied to reduce redness, improve healing tendencies, and speed recovery, and so many things we don't even know about that we haven't even tapped into yet. But what I don't like is when I see companies advertising off-label use, or, you know, permissively talking about injecting exosomes, and those are things we just shouldn't do yet. Just the science isn't there. You're using donor DNA products. It can trigger immune response reactions. And so when we see people at meetings spouting off about how, oh, they apply exosomes, they microneedle them in, they inject them in the scalp, like, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Sorry, but I gotta, you know, I want to be the person to say, like, calm down, take a step back. Where did those exosomes come from? How many donors were involved in that pooled product?
It seems to me that that's the biggest difference. And I don't know the consumers know that. Right. Yeah. What is the origin? Because, I mean, there's everything from deers, right, to human and to all synthetics. I mean, it's a pretty wide range. And I'm sure I'm leaving out 10 of them.
Yeah.
So do you know? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think the way a consumer knows is going to a doctor that they respect and is going to tell them the truth.
In this market, we are also the consumer, because we go to aesthetics meetings and we're marketed to by companies that sometimes tell you things that are crossing the line or very close to the line. So to your point, like, there is so much need for authorities in aesthetics who really look at things. And
studies.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, exosomes has had some good studies by several companies. So at least, you know, I get the feeling from doctors that it's safe when used appropriately. And I had the Benev product 4 days ago after an RF microneedling treatment. And I loved it. I mean, it really did help. I was very bruised, and then I was not bruised. It was a marked difference, because I'm fair and I bruise all the time.
Yeah.
My first experience with it. And yeah. Okay. I'm hooked. I'm with the next time too.
Amazing. That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, when you see a result like that, I mean, I think that's one of the issues in aesthetics for the average person. Like, what's the downtime, right? How much does it hurt? But you can take care of how it hurts, right? You have a lot of toys to use to make it not hurt, Pronox being one of them, my favorite. But it's also, am I going to get a result from it? Because there are so many treatments out there that I think patients can be very disappointed and spend a lot of money. And then they look in the mirror and like, okay, I don't see a difference, or I see a difference I don't like.
Well, you end up going to a lot of different meetings. Are there some new topics trending that you think are so interesting from what you've seen in Europe? I know you're a big fan of IMCAS, as well as the AMWC meetings all around the world.
These are the two best meetings, and I learn more from those meetings. The American meetings, I think, sometimes tend to get stale, but the European meetings, those two meetings are so wide, they're so big, and you're able to hear doctors from literally all over the world, which I find extremely interesting, not from the same hospital or from the same place. This is really unique. However, there are a lot of crazy things coming from outside of the US too that we really have to be careful about. I mean, things that I see, I mean, exosomes, absolutely, that was, you know, number one on my list. I think we're seeing a lot of hyaluronic acid fillers as skin boosters now. Mm-hmm. And that's a new, there's always going to be a new use of fillers. And we're becoming almost like Europe. When you say, how many fillers do we have now? I used to keep track of it, but it was so much more in Europe. I mean, it was 10s and 20s and 30s and crazy, crazy ones from companies you never even heard of. Yeah. But now we're almost starting to catch up, don't you think? I mean, there are a lot of injectables definitely coming from Asia, most specifically Korea.
Yeah, I think so. The market is exploding in the US, and that's all good, because the consumer benefits from increased competition. And I think you're sold a bill of goods when you grow up in the US that there's only three major companies and they have all the goods. And
that's what failed. I think that changed this year alone. The companies that are coming into the US, at least, I mean, they're not going to get here unless they have studies, right? Yeah. So at least we can feel good about that. Whereas in Europe, it's a lot easier entrance. So many of these fillers, I mean, you know, this will take so long to ever get here, even mechanical devices. Bringing that to me is the other really huge change is everything can be done with devices at this point. I mean, how many, for you example, you have a huge practice. How many devices do you have in your practice, a solo practitioner?
I have been very conservative. So I've had hair removal laser. I had an NDAG laser. I've had microneedling, radio frequency. So, you know, in the course of 20 years, I've probably had 7 or 8 devices.
Oh, that's not a lot, is it?
That's not a lot at all. I go into offices now where they have 10 devices all day, every day. And I don't even understand how they sustain that, because then it's just this weight on your back of products that you have to keep on pitching over and over.
And it's the consumables also that make it expensive, obviously.
Exactly.
But this is the time of year. I mean, we're sort of coming to the last quarter, and this is the time of year where most doctors take a look at what they've got. They take stock. I write a lot of articles just at this time of year with these kind of notes, like, what are you going to do for next year? And better to start early, not December 30th. See what you have. Does it work? Are you making money on it? Are patients happy with the result? There are so many variables. And if not, trade it in, because that is the time to trade it in, because there's the tax refund that most doctors take advantage of. But we've got so many duplicate. I mean, it's hard to tell one from the next. I mean, I think there are some basic technologies that almost every practice needs to have today, but you don't need 3 of them that do the same thing necessarily.
What do you think are 3 things that the average practice is doing wrong in terms of marketing?
Well, here's one thing I think is really wrong. And I think most doctors would agree with this. When we first got all these new tattoo removal devices with the new technology, everybody wanted to do tattoos. Why? So they went out. I mean, I know so many doctors who went out, and at that time, they were the most expensive devices ever. I mean, devices didn't cost that kind of money at that time. Right. And they really bankrupted themselves. I mean, a lot of them took out loans and they couldn't pay it off because they didn't have patients who were coming in asking to have tattoos removed. I think we miscalculated it. And if you don't have patients that are appropriate for that device or that treatment, don't buy it. Don't spend money on it until you do, because it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You've got to come into your office wanting something and then you deliver it. Otherwise, you've got a very expensive machine sitting there gathering dust. And unfortunately, these were great devices. I mean, it was a definite improvement over what used to be used for tattoo removal. But you know what? I found out the hard way, because I was working on several brands with this, that there are a lot of people who really like their tattoos. They do not want to get rid of them. And it's a different population. You know, it's not, maybe it's the teenager who, you know, did this to spite their mom, like in my zip code. And now the mom wants it off, but the teenager doesn't.
Yeah.
Tattoos, every celebrity has tattoos, right? So it's not really a bad thing. I think that was a miscalculation. I think laser hair removal, I know everyone needs it, everyone wants it, but to me, it's a loss leader. I don't think it's profitable.
Yeah.
Because you can get it for pennies. Now, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I mean, clearly it's the, you know, it's kind of the Groupon effect.
Right.
I think it killed laser hair removal. And there are so many chains now that do that exclusively. So if you're going to do laser hair removal, I think you need to buy the biggest, the best technology, the fastest, really the best credibility, or not, or don't do it at all. I personally.
Marketing mistakes? How about mistakes?
Oh, marketing?
Marketing. Social
is a no-brainer. You can't not be on social. And you hear this so many times from older doctors, like, oh, I don't want to do it. Okay, you don't have to do it, but someone has to do it for you. Because if you're not on Instagram, for example, right, you're almost invisible to probably 98% of the people you want to reach. Mm-hmm. And that's just where it's at. And it's different in other markets, obviously, but I think in the US, now at TikTok as well, a lot of doctors have a lot of pushback on TikTok. But there are ways to use TikTok that, you know, you don't have to dance and do all those things that some doctors really hate to do. You work with your staff. You get a great creator. TikTok for many practices, I think, has become really essential as well. Not my favorite channel, but lucrative.
Is there a role now for print ads becoming popular again, since we're so saturated with visual media and Instagram? You can't reach all your followers. You can post, but not everybody sees what you're posting. So maybe I go home and open the mailbox and there's like a postcard.
But there are no magazines. I mean, there are trade journals. But there are no magazines. I mean, in my mailbox, I get magazines that I've never ordered. And I think it has to do with where I shop. If you're a shopper on a certain site or whatever, they send it to you for free. I don't read it. And they're thin. So I don't think we're going back to paper. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's ever going to happen. First of all, environmentally, it's not going to happen, right? Yeah. I mean, certainly the younger generations, they're very much more inclined to be concerned about that than my generation. But I don't see that happening. I don't see it happening ever, frankly. I think eventually, I don't know how many textbooks we're going to have. I think textbooks are going to be exclusively online.
Yeah.
Just expensive to produce, takes too time. I have another book coming out in January, and the work involved is extraordinary. And it's all about marketing, and it changes by the wind. So like what I wrote 6 months ago, I now have to update before it goes to press because things just change so quickly.
Right.
And that's a bit of a challenge. So I think everything is going to be digital at some relatively close point in the future. And that goes for everyone who's reading books. Look at college. I mean, any kind of educational, it's just going to be that. That's human nature. And then we have AI to deal with, which I loved. I got excited about, mm-hmm. but there are pros and cons. But I think for doctors, I think the pros outweigh the cons because it really can simplify your life. It can take a lot of the grunt tasks away from you so you can do what you really love to do and what you're trained to do and take care of patients. And I see more and more doctors asking me about it. What should I do? How can I use it? And doctors, you wouldn't even think are very academic, but they have so much work, the papers they have to write, all of that. And you can use AI as a tool, not a substitute. Don't go firing your whole staff, which we've seen as well in many industries, but it really is a time saver.
Are there any apps or specific AI things that you're using?
There is so many. I find that the most confusing thing because you're constantly bombarded with them. And I always try to ask someone like, have you used this? Because I don't want to be the first one using it. They're all very redundant. Some are free, but most are paid. I'm on all the channels now, but some of them are better than others. I personally prefer ChatGPT-4, but that gets complaints too. But that's from techies where it gets complaints because they know the systems way more than I'm not a techie at all. I find it user-friendly. But I think you have to be on all of them to understand them a little bit better. And we've got a lot of choices. And there are four now we have to contend with. And there will be more and more and more. But I think the big ones are really going to be Microsoft, Bing. ChatGPT will probably get gobbled up because that's the AI company that Elon founded as well. And he's not involved in it anymore. But I think some of these will get merged or will get bought. Mm-hmm. There's a new one called Anthropic that just came out, not really ready for prime time, but that's another one that's supposed to be a kinder, gentler AI. I don't know what that means. We'll see. But these are really smart people behind all of these. And there's so much investment money that it shows you that this is here to stay. I mean, from day one, I think the thought, oh, it's just a fad. Oh, no. This is not a fad. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to hold it back and the government will try to get involved. But right now, do you see the government in Washington right now getting their handle on this? Mm-mm. Not a chance. They can't even find a speaker for the House. So how are they going to get their head around AI? It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So you have to be careful because there are a lot of unscrupulous people selling you stuff. I found that anytime I was online, I was getting constant sales pitches. Oh, you need this, you need that, you need it. You don't need all of that. You can just go along the merry way until you figure out what you do need.
Yeah.
I mean, one that I like is Otter. Mm-hmm. As a writer, that's very helpful. I think it's really helpful for doctors to have something where you can just talk into it and it's done. And you don't have to have someone transcribe it for you. Think of how less expensive that is. Like if you're writing a paper for a journal, I mean, that's a real time saver, I think. And stuff that you don't want to do as a doctor and you don't have time for, right?
A couple pearls from your new book on marketing. What are two pearls that you could give us that are going to really change our approach to marketing?
Oh, that's a good question. I think part of it, I think there is no print in the mix anymore. However, I think you have to start like nursing patients very early on and getting them involved in the practice. The practices that I see are really successful, really have this down. They know how to do this. They need I think, mandatory, maybe not for you because you have a surgical practice. A non-surgical practice for sure needs some form of a loyalty program to keep the patients coming back, because now it's baked in the cake, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has loyalty, from the ice cream store to Bloomingdale's, and everything has that, every airline. So you have to have something like that, even though I know some doctors find it's, you know, beneath them. I get it. However, it's not beneath the patients, and that's really what matters. So that's number one. Number two, I think, you know, you've got to treat patients better. It sounds like a cliche, but it isn't. Because patients will leave you. I mean, and they do. They have a lot of choices.
Yeah.
No matter how big a name you are, no matter how much you charge for your fees, and the fees are getting crazy, people will leave if you don't treat them well. And that starts with the staff. That starts with how they can connect with you. We were getting into an era where every practice basically is going to be using some form of a chatbot, which is the way to do it, because you can't have staff 24/7. So that's a reasonable thing. And I think patients are okay with that. They don't need an instant answer, but they need an answer. They need to be responded to at some point. That's reasonable. So your website, don't throw your website away. You still need a website. It still needs to have good information and current. Don't throw it away. We're not done with that yet.
Yeah.
But I would do everything. I really believe that everything has to be digital. It's just too, it's too expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's too time consuming to do it that way. Mm-hmm. Everything is done online. I mean, if one tool that I think you can't live without if you're a marketer, and I'm sure everyone knows this already, is Canva. I mean, we kissed the ground. Mm-hmm. Canva, you know, is the best thing ever. And it just keeps getting better, better, better. And you see that a lot of these platforms that are so important to running a practice are now very into AI. So there are, you know, spell checkings and word checks, and there are so many tools that are already there, just incorporated in these platforms. So if you have nothing else, you need Canva, because it'll make your team will be able to do things for you so much faster and so much less expensive. I mean, whatever, I don't even know what it costs. It's not a lot. It's more than it needs to be. But the benefits way outweigh. I mean, you can get things done in your practice without having to go to Kinko's, if Kinko's even exists anymore, and getting posters made, you know? I mean, it's changed practice so much. And that leaves more time for your staff to take care of patients. And isn't that what it's all about? I know that doctors sometimes cringe when we talk about things like loss leaders or, you know, discounts and all those other things. But again, you have to put your mind in the mind of the patients that you're seeing. And what do they want? What do they like? Who doesn't like a little bonus here or there? It doesn't have to be a big discount, and it shouldn't be. But people like the perks. The perks mean something to them. And it's another way to keep that patient into the practice. I think sometimes they assume, which is not true as we know, that everyone does the same thing in the same way, which of course is far from true. And they don't really realize how different it is in every practice, but they want that kind of extra little pampering. And today, you know, it can be anything. It can be, you know, you throw in something in a bundle of a treatment. You give someone an extra syringe because they did something great, or they're really happy, or that you think they need to have this extra syringe to get the result you want. Maybe next time they'll have it on their own. There are so many other ways to do it. I think that's very important. I also think that a lot of offices that I see really have a difficult time hiring and keeping staff.
Yes.
And I think this is pervasive. I don't think it's one thing. It's because you're not a nice person or you don't pay them enough.
I was going to say it's 100% a brand new problem of this decade of having people whose mindset is very short in terms of, I think millennials want to work for a year or two and then try something new. They're just not going to stay in one place for 10 years, let alone I worked 30 years for a company. Those days are over.
No, I agree. 100%. And they need, but knowing that if you have millennials or that age group in your practice, think about how you need to keep them in there. You know, work-life balance. I wrote this in my book. Like, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I'm laughing. Of course, I know what it is, but I've never had it. I don't know what it is because I've never experienced it. Like, I work 7 days. Work-life balance? Seriously? Like, for me to go and get a Starbucks. That's work-life balance. You know what? I applaud them because I wish that we were doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a better way to live and you're happy. I think that that's a sea change completely. The challenge though for practices, you've got to figure out what it is, what makes them tick. Each one is a different person. What means something to that person? And maybe it is working 4 days a week instead of five. And you're dead set against having someone 4 days a week. That ship sailed for me many, many years ago. When I ran the last practice I ran, if I had someone good and they wanted to work 3 days a week, I would rather have someone phenomenal 3 days a week than someone mediocre who came in 5 days but didn't do a lot. So really think about that, because employees are hard to find. They're even harder to train. And when you lose someone, you lose all that institutional memory.
Mm-hmm.
The way that someone comes into your office and the patient knows, oh, hi, Sue, great to see you. And there's something personal about it. Oh, how was your vacation? Like, that still works in aesthetics. It is personal. It's an intimate relationship. So if you go into a practice and, you know, every couple of months for your next injection and, oh, there's another person sitting at the desk, it doesn't give the right energy, I think. I think it says something about the practice. Mm-hmm. And you may lose patients because of it. So that person is so important. You know, having great clinical staff, that goes without saying, that may be easier, but admin staff is really difficult, I think. And I get this all the time. It's a hard job. I think sometimes doctors don't always recognize how hard that job is because they're facing the client and they also have to work with the doctor and get everything right for the doctor or doctors. Private practice also, I mean, you know this, private practice is almost over. There will be very few solo practices in the future because it doesn't make economic good sense.
Yeah, I think you're so right. You're very accurate with all your forecasting. I mean, you're putting your finger on the pulse of things that we see happening every day. This year, we came up with a membership program and you know, your idea of loyalty, that definitely inspired us to create lots of perks for our patients. And the idea of work-life balance, we switched to 4 day work weeks for most of our employees. Yeah.
That's so amazing.
We're kind of just incorporating these things as we go. Of course, we're huge on social. We really believe in that.
Oh, but you're phenomenal. Yeah, you are really a pro. You should be teaching me. I don't need to teach you anything.
Oh,
no, you did a great job. How much work goes into it. A lot of work goes into it.
You have to be front facing. You have to be, you know, giving of your time and your educational expertise. So I'm a big fan of doing all that, just as you are.
Yeah.
But I can't thank you enough for all of the good, great advice. And when will we see you at the next meeting that you're going to?
I'm going to the plastic surgery meeting in Austin next week.
Oh, great.
And then I'll go to ASDS in Chicago. That's the Durham meeting. And then I think I have one more this year and then I'm done until MCAS.
Well, those of you who are out there, I need to come to MCAS.
I would love to get you there.
Yeah.
You'd love it.
Fly out to Paris. Is Paris in January? I don't know.
I know. Yeah. Bring your umbrella. It's true.
But anyway, I would love to do that. I will look forward to seeing you at the next meeting. And Wendy, where can people find you on your various social handles?
The best place to find me is actually LinkedIn, because I'm much more active on LinkedIn. And it's under my name, Wendy Lewis Co. And we're more active on Facebook and mostly Instagram.
Perfect.
Not on TikTok. Don't look for me there. That will not be me.
No dancing.
I think I've aged out of TikTok.
I'm still there, but we'll have to do a TikTok next time I see you. I'm going to drag you into a TikTok.
You're going to have to give me some alcohol before we do that.
It's a deal.
Okay.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. So you can find our amazing skincare line. I'm going to have to send you some goodies, Miss Wendy. Thanks so much for joining us and giving us this forecast into aesthetics, how it's changing, and all your amazing ideas. Talk soon. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.